When you're up against the wall and your mountain seems so tall, you realize life ain't always fair. You can run away and hide, let yourself decide, change your circumstances with a prayer. When everything falls apart, praise His name. When you have a broken heart, raise your voice and say, Lord, you're all I need, you're everything to me. He'll take the pain away. When you feel you can't go on, praise His name. When you find your strength is gone, raise your voice and say, greater is He that is within me. You can praise the hurt away. I know you can overcome by the blood of the Lamb, with the word of His testimony. You can see the darkness go as your faith begins to grow. You're not alone. How can you be lonely when everything falls apart? Praise His name. When you have a broken heart, raise your voice and say, Lord, you're all I need, you're everything to me, and you'll take the pain away. When you feel you can't go on, praise His name. When you find your strength is gone, raise your voice and say, greater is He that is within me. You can praise the hurt away. If you'll just praise His name, praise His name.
Elvis has left the building. For years, that phrase was used to calm and disperse the crowd and to let them know that he wouldn't be coming back out. There's no more encores. There's nothing left to see. You might as well go home because Elvis has left the building. He wasn't the first to use that thought or that phrase because it started in the 1920s with an actress named Ethel Barrymore. Now, they didn't use the exact same words, but her announcers would come out and say, that's all there is. There isn't any more. You may as well go home. Now, for a guy like me, though, more my speed would be this guy right here. Right? Or this pig right here, I guess. What'd he say? That's all, folks, right? That's all, folks. I read a book a long time ago called The Last Lecture by Randy Pausch. And he wrote this book because that was all for him. He was leaving this world. He had been diagnosed with pancreatic cancer. He was a professor at Carnegie Mellon University, 47 years old, and he wrote a lecture to share with his class, but to share with his wife and his children to prepare them for his death. And it went viral, and millions of people listened to the last lecture. It became a book, and I think the quote that caught my eye, Randy Pausch said before he died, it felt like somebody was about to push his family off a cliff and he wouldn't be there to catch them. And this was his attempt to prevent that from happening. So we celebrated this entire month, of this last month of December, Jesus coming to be with us in our world, right? He came, He lived, He died, He resurrected, He ascended to heaven. And then there came a time, and we didn't talk about this, when He told His disciples, that's all, folks, and I'm out of here. And I'm going to be leaving. But here's the deal. There wasn't no that's all, folks, or Elvis has left the building, because with Jesus, he promised to come back again. But not only that, he promised to send a helper to come to us when he left, a comforter, an advocate, someone called the Holy Spirit. And we did a sermon series on this, and I looked. It's been like a year and 8 months ago, and we covered this, and you're probably wondering, why are we hitting this again today? Because it's a blind spot for most churches and for our church as well. We don't preach about it enough. We don't teach about it enough. We don't talk about it enough, the impact the Holy Spirit has on our life. And for me, it's simple math. If we ignore one-third of the Godhead, we function at two-thirds capacity, right? Simple math. So there are dimensions of joy and grace that can only be accessed by the power of the Holy Spirit. We need to plug into that power. Now, you get confused when we talk about the Holy Spirit, and I understand that. People in Paul's day did too. Check this out in Acts 19, 1 and 2. Paul took the road through the interior and arrived at Ephesus. There he found some disciples who, and asked them, "Did you receive the Holy Spirit when you believed?" And they answered, "No. We've not even heard that there is a Holy Spirit." Well, just to see who I'm working with, how many of you have heard there is a Holy Spirit? Let me see. Okay, so we're well ahead of where they were. So at least we got that going. But it's still a blind spot for so many Christians. And I think there are several factors that make us hesitant in talking about the Holy Spirit. One of those would be misgivings, because you have seen people who claim to have the power of the Holy Spirit do some really wild things. And you're thinking, well, I didn't come in here to jump pews or to talk in tongues or to, God forbid, handle snakes. If our elders ever mandated that their preachers have to handle snakes, I will become a plumber tomorrow. I promise you that. So maybe you're just, you know, some people are too Holy Spirit this, Holy Spirit that. So you pull back and say, well, I'm not that. So it might be misgivings, might be mistrust. We all like to be in control. We all have control issues. Let's face it. I may have more than some, but we all have some. And the truth is, we can't control the Holy Spirit. He controls us. So that might be a reason. Might be a misfocus. Because when we talk about the Holy Spirit, it's usually something spectacular or controversial. When the truth is, he has simple realities for every single believer. Might be misunderstanding. I bet most of us could tell somebody about God. What if somebody came up to you and said, "Can you tell me about God?" Well, he created the world. He's the Father. He sent his son to die. He's a jealous God. You know some of the attributes. He destroyed the earth with a flood. How about telling me about Jesus? Well, yeah, you could probably do that too, I bet, right? Did all the miracles, walked on water, died on the cross, rose from the grave. How about the Holy Spirit, though? Somebody comes up to you and says, who is this? What's this all about? Most of us are going to struggle. Again, it's a blind spot. We just need to spend more time and give more attention to this. I found an article. I love this. This kid's name is Danny Dutton. He was 7 years old, and he wrote, and he described his description of God. That's him right there praying with his dog, Scooby. And he wrote this description about God, and I love what kids write. Check this out. One of God's main jobs, this is how he starts his article, one of God's main jobs is making people. He makes them to replace the ones that die so there'll be enough people to take care of things on earth. He doesn't make grown-ups, though. He makes babies only. I think it's because they're smaller and easier and don't complain as much. God's second most important job is listening to prayers. An awful lot of this goes on since some people, like preachers and things, pray even when it's not bedtime. God doesn't get to listen to the radio or watch TV because of this. God sees everything, hears everything, is everywhere, and that keeps him pretty busy. So you shouldn't go wasting his time by going over your mom and dad's head asking for something that they said you couldn't have. Atheists are people who don't believe in God. And I don't know why, but atheists smell funny. Never noticed. I don't think we have atheists in Chula Vista. At least there aren't any who come to our church. Jesus is God's son. He used to do all the hard work, like walking on water and doing miracles, but people finally got tired of his preaching, and they nailed him. But he was good and kind, like his father, and he told his father, "Forgive them, because they really don't know what they're doing." And his father said, "Okay." His dad appreciated everything he'd done, his hard work on earth, so he told him he didn't have to go out on the road anymore. He could stay in heaven, so he did. Now he helps his dad out by listening to prayers, seeing which things he can take care of so his dad doesn't have to. He's like a secretary, only more. You pray anytime you want, and they are sure to help you because they got it worked out that one of them is always on duty. It's like White Castles. You can go to them anytime, and they are open. You should always go to church on Sunday because that makes God happy, and if there's anybody you want to make happy, it's God. And he concludes with this: don't skip church like most Democrats do. I didn't write this, y'all. But I do want to repeat that line. Don't skip church like most Democrats do. Don't do something you might think will be more fun, like going to the beach. That's just wrong. And besides, the sun doesn't come out the beach until noon anyway. How about that? That's pretty good. And we could do that too. We could write about God, who he is, what he does, what he thinks, how he feels. But man, what about the Holy Spirit? Well, where do you go? Well, you could go to Genesis. The Spirit of God moved on the face of the waters right there at the beginning. You could go to the prophets because the Spirit of God gave them messages to the people. You could go to the judges because every single one of them, it says specifically, the Spirit of God came upon them to help them. Mary, the mother of Jesus, the Holy Spirit overshadowed her and she became pregnant. Jesus' baptism, the Holy Spirit descended like a dove. And then when Jesus left the world, he promised the Holy Spirit would come. So let's go there for a minute. John 14, 16 and 17. I will ask the Father, and he will give you another advocate to help you and be with you forever, the Spirit of truth. The world cannot accept him because it neither sees him or knows him. But you know him, for he lives with you and will be in you. That's great. And then another passage that's similar, John 16, 5 and 7. But now I'm going to him who sent me. None of you ask me, where are you going? Rather, you're filled with grief because I have said these things. But very truly, I tell you, it is for your good that I'm going away. Unless I go away, the advocate will not come to you. But if I go, I will send him to you. So, let me tell you why this is a big deal. And it's a verse you've probably read, but maybe it didn't land the way it should have. It's Romans 8, 9. If anyone does not have the Spirit of Christ, they do not belong to Christ. You want to tell how somebody's good to go, got it? If anyone does not have the Spirit of Christ, they do not belong to Christ. I think it was Einstein who said, everything should be made as simple as possible, but not simpler. So in thinking to understand the Holy Spirit, we want to make it as simple as possible, but we don't want to minimize who he is and what he does. I've always said the Holy Spirit is like your pituitary gland. You know it's there. You're glad you have it. You don't want to lose it, but you're not exactly sure what it does. Well, that's why Jesus addressed his followers. So I'm going to give you two or three things that the Holy Spirit does in the time we have remaining. Number one, the Holy Spirit helps you experience the presence of God. Jesus was going away, but as he said in John 14, he would not leave them as orphans. He gave them this encouraging heads up, I'm sending someone to be with you, and that is the Holy Spirit. Jesus always did things that were unexpected, and I love that. And that's why he took so much time explaining to them, because they did not see it coming. It reminded me of the story of Lawrence Ripple. You know who Lawrence Ripple is? He's a man who robbed a bank in Kansas City, Missouri. And after robbing the bank, he didn't run away. He just went to the lobby of the bank, sat down, and waited for the police to arrest him, which they did. And when they asked him why he didn't run, he said, I would rather go to jail than spend another night at home with my wife. Well, the judge who sentenced him to 6 months of house arrest. Not exactly what he expected. And we don't get what we expect when it comes to the things of the Lord either. That's why we need to pay attention to what he says. And he says the Holy Spirit helps you experience the presence of God. Anybody here watch the Netflix show Alone? Anybody? Pretty cool show. They drop these 10 contestants off in a wilderness area. They can win $500,000 if they endure the stay. And it's a crazy environment, wild animals. Got to build their own shelters, their own fire. Own weapons, feed themselves, solely take care of themselves through a rough winter, and they have to do it all alone. They do have access to a satellite phone. That's because if they want to tap out, they can call the crew to come and get them. And almost everyone taps out. You know why? multiple reasons. Some tap out because of extreme hunger. They've lost 15% of their body weight, so they want to get out. They're tired of eating roots and berries, and they want steak, so I'm going to call. Some people tap out because they have come face-to-face with a bear, and they don't want to do it again. Bears, mountain lions, other animals. Some people tap out because they're not very good at building their own shelter, and they're getting cold every night, and they can't stand it. But the majority tap out because they can't stand being alone. The beginning of every show features a quote. Here's one of them. The worst cruelty that can be inflicted on a human being is isolation. And then they quoted Amelia Earhart at the beginning of one of their shows. Being alone is scary, but it's not as scary as feeling alone. You know how excited I am that we have so many of you reading through the Bible this year? I love that. And you're already into some interesting stuff, aren't you? I mean, at this point, you've already figured out that Abraham and his whole family are liars, right? I mean, that's where we're at right now. And there'll be other stuff you'll discover that you're like, what is going on there? But it's cool. And while you're reading through it, we're reading through it a pretty good clip. We're not going to really retain a lot of this, which is fine. I think it's good to read through it. But I'll tell you one message that you will get. By the time you're at the end, you will get this. We are not alone. You'll get that. From the presence of God with Adam and Eve, from his conversation with Moses, from his struggle with patriarchs, to the journeys of Israel, to the prophets, to the coming of Jesus, to the sending of the Holy Spirit, the Bible whispers and sometimes it shouts, you are not alone. What is it that the psalmist said? I will fear no evil. Why? For thou art with me. Even Jesus' last words before he defied gravity and headed to heaven, surely I will be with you always. And I can feel his presence in my life, and you can too, because we are not alone. Yes, Jesus has left the building, but he sent the Holy Spirit to live in us and to help us. And I'm so thankful, and you ought to be also. Amen. Let me tell you a quick story before I make another point. In let's see if I got a date here. You know what preachers do when they don't have a date? Several years ago, a Jewish kid from Queens enrolled in Columbia University. His name was Arthur Garfunkel. And during freshman orientation, he quickly became friends and bonded with another student whose name was Sandy Greenberg. They agreed that they would always be buddies, and if one needed the other, he would be there. Sandy Greenberg, shortly after enrolling at Columbia, went to an eye doctor to discover that his optic nerves had some disease and he was losing eyesight in both eyes. Well, he was devastated. I mean, a young man just kind of starting. He quit school, went back to Brooklyn where he lived, holed himself up in his apartment and decided, you know what, I just want to stay here till I die. Didn't want to face the world, do anything. I don't know how long it was, but at some point he got a knock on his door and it was Art Garfunkel who told him, I'm not going to allow you to give up this way. End result, he bought him a ticket, talked him into re-enrolling at Columbia. At this point, Greenberg's eyesight was almost completely gone. And Art Garfunkel promised his friend that he would be his eyes. He'd be there beside him to help him. One day, Sandy Greenberg told Art Garfunkel that everything is starting to look like darkness. So Garfunkel said, well, just call me Darkness. That'll be my name. So you can say, Darkness is going to get you some food now. Or, hey, do you need darkness? I'll be there. Just call me Darkness. One day, Art was guiding Sandy through a crowd at Central Station when suddenly he said, Sandy, I have to go. And he left. Sandy's there blind, petrified. He's bumping into people. He's alone. He's scared. And after a couple of hours, he finally got back on the right train. And then when he exited the train, he bumped into someone. Well, it was Art Garfunkel, who quickly apologized because he had been there the whole time. He just wanted Sandy to know, you can do this on your own, but I will be there for you. Sandy Greenberg said that moment was the spark that caused me to live a completely different life without fear or doubt. He graduated from Columbia. He earned degrees from Harvard, from Oxford. He married his high school sweetheart, became a successful entrepreneur and philanthropist. And then one day he gets a call, and it's Art Garfunkel who needs a favor from him. Art Garfunkel had formed a new folk rock duo with another high school friend named Paul Simon. They needed money to record their first album, and Sandy Greenberg gave it to them. Their first album was not successful, but one of the songs on the album became a number one hit. The song was "The Sound of Silence." And the opening line of the song reflected how Sandy always greeted Art. "Hello, darkness, my old friend." Simon and Garfunkel went on to become one of the most successful musical acts in history. And it's quite a story. But as I read that, I'm thinking, you know what? There's a better story than that. How about a God who sends his son, gives us his spirit to live in us, and even though we can't see him, and even though at times we feel like we're on our own just kind of stretching around to figure out what direction to go, we know that he is there. The Holy Spirit helps us experience God's presence. The Holy Spirit helps you discern the truth of God. Back to John 14, check this out. "All this I have spoken while still with you, but the Advocate, the Holy Spirit, whom the Father will send in my name, will teach you all things and remind you of everything I have said to you." Now, I love this because the Holy Spirit helps us to discern the truth of God. And there is a cool verse, and I hesitated to share it because I can't explain the theology of this verse, but I think it's cool, and it's 1 Corinthians 2:10. Check this out. "These are the things God has revealed to us by his Spirit. The Spirit searches all things, even the deep things of God." How about that? The deep things of God. Sometimes when we're asked questions in Sunday school and we're going back and forth, I think we give answers like kids give answers. You know how kids give answers? Not always knowing, but fully confident. You know what I'm saying? It's like, matter of fact, well, this is. And if you say it with enough confidence, it sounds like you know what you're talking about. And I found some video footage, some kids that kind of made me feel that way. Check this out.
Evan, tell me, what's your Thanksgiving like?
Me and my family drive to my grandma's, who lives in Pahrump.
Pahrump?
It's this little tiny town.
What's there?
My grandma's house.
Hey, Evan, what are you thankful for?
Well, really, my mom should be thankful for this. I'm not really thankful for this. My mom would probably be thankful that school's almost near and she doesn't have to deal with me and my sister.
Hi, I'm Aiden.
Hi, Aiden. How old are you?
I'm 5 years old, but my buffet age is 4.
Buffet age? Break this down to me, Aiden. I don't understand. What do you mean by buffet age? What is that?
It's how old you turn when you go to a restaurant.
So, Aiden, when is it okay to lie?
Never.
How old are you? 5?
Uh-huh.
And how old are you when you're at the buffet?
4.
Do you like being on this program?
Yeah.
Do you know who I am?
No.
You think I'm good looking?
Yeah.
I think you're good looking.
Yes, indeed.
Speaking of good looking, you got a girl?
Huh?
Do you have a girl?
Yeah, girlfriend.
You have a girlfriend?
3 of them.
3?
They're older than me. They're older than me. That's why I get the older ones, because they're more mature, and they got more. And they got
you get the older ones, because they're more mature.
Yeah, and they got more money.
More money. How much older are they than you?
I have to ask my daddy over again because I think I know one of them age is 30. That's the only one I know whose age is right.
But your daddy knows how old they are.
Yeah.
How's he know?
Because he's been seeing them for a long time.
Just be confident when you give an answer, and it'll work out. Most people are searchers. That's why search engines are created. Do you know the number of servers that Google employs? It was a well-kept secret for a long time, but now the estimate has been put at 2,376,640 servers. And I don't understand all of this tech talk, but using a search algorithm called PageRank, Google crawls 20 billion websites every day. 20 billion searches every day, performs over 100 billion searches per month. Now, some of us grew up with a library card catalog system. Remember that? How many of you grew up with that, my age and older? That's right. I harbor a little resentment toward those who have never had to search by subject or author or title. But these search engines are impressive. But you know what they can't compare to? The Holy Spirit's search engine, because he knows everything and everything there is to know about you, every subconscious memory, every subliminal desire, the value of pi to the 10th millionth decimal and beyond. I don't even know what I just said, although I do have two PhDs. Did you all know that? Post hole diggers, they're in the garage back there. But you name it, and he knows it. And here's what that means. After searching everything, the Holy Spirit becomes our moral compass in defining right and wrong. We don't have to trust the collective conscience of society because the Holy Spirit has already searched that. And he knows that doesn't work. He helps us determine right from wrong. And we would be wise to listen to him because every day he searches the deep things of God. And the primary tool, if you don't get anything else before I close, get this. The primary tool of the Holy Spirit is the Word of God. Hand in glove. Holy Spirit and the Bible. There are certain things that go together, right? Peanut butter and jelly, fish and chips, hugs and kisses, meat and potatoes, Cool Whip and a spoon, spaghetti and meatballs, a bushel and a peck, a wink and a smile, Bonnie and Clyde, bed and breakfast, clowns with crying children, chips and dip, Ben and Jerry's, shake and bake, campfires and s'mores, Woody and Buzz, two peas in a pod, pork and beans, leaps and bounds, pots and pans, pumpkin and spice, alcohol and bad decision, Chinese food and cats, smoke and mirrors, and Taco Bell and the runs. Some things just go together. But I'm telling you, the primary tool for the Holy Spirit of God is the Bible. I even saw two things that go together from a Texas courthouse. Check this sign out. Marriage and pistol licenses this way. Hand in glove. The Holy Spirit and the Word of God. He uses it like a scalpel, performing surgery on our hearts. So when you hear someone say they're being led by the Holy Spirit, guess what? We have a way to test that. We have a way to prove that that's who you're hearing from. And that is what he's telling you to do match what the Word of God says? Does it match the truth of what God says, what Jesus taught, what we've been instructed to do? If it's contrary to that, not only is it not from the Holy Spirit, you should run as fast as you can away from that. The Holy Spirit also helps you acquire the character of God. Now, he's never spoken to me audibly. I wish he would. I wish God would too. So I envision, well, that's not the right word. I hear, whenever like I think the Holy Spirit's speaking to me, I imagine the voice of James Earl Jones. You know, from Field of Dreams, it's baseball. So I don't know what he sounds like, but I know what kind of things he says to me. Swallow your pride. Just go say I'm sorry. Give that treasured possession away. Hey, go talk to that person that just walked by. Stop exaggerating. Did you really need to say that? Suck it up, cupcake, and forgive him. Don't look at that. Look away. Don't look away. Look at that. Dwell on this. Don't dwell on that. I read an article years ago by Joe Garman that was entitled, What If God Removed the Holy Spirit from the World? Read that, and it's unbelievable how many bad things he speculates would happen if the Holy Spirit. Well, it's more personal than that. What if he removed it from me? I mean, I mess things up on my own all the time. What if I was on my own and I didn't have power from the Holy Spirit of God? I'd have no chance. I don't know if you remember it or not. David even said that to God. What did he say? Take not your Holy Spirit from me. Holy Spirit helps you acquire the character of God. Let me throw one more in, then I'll close. The Holy Spirit helps you access the power of God. I was talking to my buddy Larry Leonard. I don't know if y'all know Larry, and I comes early service. his wife, Francie, we had her funeral several months ago. Just a sweet couple. And he's a cool guy. And they got a dog named Lucy that he takes to Walmart. Puts her in the front basket of his cart and goes all around Walmart. And he told me one day, I ran into him at Walmart with Lucy. He said, "Mark, these dogs are like chick magnets." That's what he said. And you're right. He said, "No, I'm serious." He said, women stop to pet Lucy, and they, "Oh, she's so cute," and they go on and on. And then he talked to me. He said, "I'm telling you, it works." Well, I told him, my buddy Jeff, who preaches in Mooresville, he was out walking his Burma Doodle, and four college-age girls stopped to pet his dog, and they went on and on about his, "Oh, so cute." And so Jeff goes home, walks in with his dog, and announces to his wife, "I think I'm a chick magnet." Well, she grabs the leash, takes the dog, and says to him, and I quote, "Oh, yeah, now go back out there for a walk and see what happens." See, all the power was gone. Now, I don't want to compare someone's dog to the Holy Spirit, but Jesus did say this in John 15, "Apart from me, you can do nothing." And then Paul said it in a different way, "I can do all things through Christ who gives me strength." And that strength comes in the form of the Holy Spirit. And you know what that means? You know what that means to me and you? That means we actually have the power. The power to say no. We do. We have the power to turn the channel. Or the power to bite our tongue. Or the power to not become bitter. Or the power to fight the addiction. Or the power to resist the temptation. In a world where everyone claims to be a victim, somebody needs to preach this truth. You are not a helpless victim with no choices and no chance. You are a born-again, blood-bought, grace-gifted, hope-infused, spirit-filled, bound-for-glory child of God, church. You've got the power, amen? Amen? You've got the power. The psalmist wrote, "Teach me to do your will, for you are my God. May your spirit lead me on level ground." I'll never forget her funeral. I've done a bunch of funerals, and I don't remember all of them. But I remember Nellie Winehouse's because she was 92 years old, which is not unusual either, but she read through the Bible once every year, since she was 12, all the way to 92. I don't know that I've met anyone in my life other than her, at least that I was aware of, who has read through the Bible completely 80 different times. And before she died, she said this, because I told her how special she was. She said, "If I'm special, it's only because of the special that God has put into me." Well, that special has been put into you too. And that special has been put into me. The Holy Spirit will help us experience the presence of God and help us discern the truth of God and help us acquire the character of God and help us access the power of God. Jesus has left the building, but that's not all, folks. Because he has sent us his Holy Spirit. And church, the Holy Spirit of God will always be welcome in this place. Amen.